Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The book God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights by Gary R. Lindbergh seeks to more deeply examine God's existence through science and the Old Testament books of Genesis and Exodus, studying some of the major issues that have generated controversy to search for clear truth about them. Called a profound book that is on fire to discover new truth to age-old questions. Gary is a graduate of the University of California, Berkeley, with a degree in U.S. history during the hectic days of the free speech movement. After graduation, before being drafted, he started to apply for the Air Force until he received his invitation to join the Peace Corps. After his service, he entered the Navy instead of accepting his draft notice, went to San Francisco State University to get his Master of Business Administration degree with a concentration in management and personnel, and began a 43-year career in human resources, retiring in 2019 to pursue personal interest. God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights is a thoughtful follow-up to his highly praised God's Existence, Truth or Fiction, The Answer Revealed. And the author, Gary R. Lindbergh, is our guest on This Week in America. Gary, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I appreciate you taking time to talk with me.
An important topic, and really what you're doing is answering so many questions that people have, and I've been looking forward to our conversation on the program today. I went over the highlights of your career. Tell us a little bit about yourself and where this interest in this study began for you.
Well, you've recounted my history, but I've been an active church member, and so I've had some very strong interest in the Bible and teaching, and so that has lasted through the years. And so I started to think about some issues that were in the Bible and wanted to examine them a little more closely than I had previously. So that's kind of more about me, I think.
Well, and it's fascinating with the Peace Corps, and we'll touch on that because you've written a book about that, and there's an organization that has done so much good, and we'll talk about that during the course of the conversation. This focus of the program, God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights by Gary Lindbergh, our guest on the program, his website, GaryRLindbergh.com. Tell us overall about the book. I mentioned very briefly why you wrote the book. Tell us about the overview from your perspective.
Well, my book, The God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights, explores ideas about some of the controversial issues in the Old Testament books of Genesis and Exodus. Does evolution contradict the Bible, or is evolution a tool that God used for his creation? Who wrote the Bible? Or who wrote the Old Testament, I should say? And why did they write the Old Testament? How should we feel about some of the issues such as Adam and Eve, missing people in the Bible, Adam's descendants, and supposedly their long age spans, and even the Great Flood? And did Moses exist? Was he a real person? Did the Exodus exist? Did it really happen? And if so, when did it happen? So those are some of the issues that I talk about in the book.
You address them so well. This is a follow-up book as well. Talk about that aspect of it, that it follows closely the thought process of the first book that you wrote.
Well, in the first book, I started to write about evolution, and I thought I covered it fairly well as for the purpose of that book. But I wanted to examine it a little more in depth and examine it without the kind of the filters that we usually use to talk about these kind of issues. Secondly, I wanted to examine some of the issues, controversies that exist in the books of Genesis and Exodus. And so that's kind of what inspired me to write this second book.
What type of research was involved? This is very extensive. How long did you spend in researching and putting this book as well as the other book together?
Well, I've been reading a lot of books, and I wanted to read books that were kind of pro-Bible and those were anti-Bible. I didn't want to just read pro-Bible authors. I wanted to read what the controversies were, what the criticisms were, so that I could understand that and more thoroughly. And then so I read a number of books that addressed that. I read a number of books for that first book, and then I read a number of books for the second book because I wanted to get into evolution more deeply. So I had to read more about what happened during the evolution period and before Adam and Eve. And then I wanted to know more about some of the controversies. And so the only way I was going to find out was to read a lot of books about it. So it took me a couple of years, I think, for before I wrote the first book, and I was able to read some books in preparation for the second book a little more quickly. But so it took some time.
The result is this book, God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights. Gary R. Lindberg is the author and our guest on the program. That's Lindberg. His website is GaryRLindberg.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Link on directly to Gary's website, and you can get information. Order both books there as well. Let's get into some of the topics that you mentioned. So many that each one is like, yeah, I've wondered about that. Maybe even had debates with people about this, discussed this over the years. Why was the Old Testament written? What did you discover? Who, when? Give us a little background there.
Well, in their book, The Bible Unearthed, Israel Finkelstein and Neil Asher Silberman wrote the book, and they discussed some of the basic Israelite groups that existed, thousands of years ago. And they concluded that there were a lot of different groups with a lot of different ideas. But the purpose of the Old Testament was to unite all those different groups into one unified Israelite people. And they concluded that that actually occurred. And I saw no evidence otherwise. So I thought that's exactly why it was written.
What did you discover about the story of creation in Genesis?
Well, the story of creation, after reading some criticisms and issues that were raised, I realized that the story of, and I read, the Bible and the books of Genesis, and I realized that there were some mistakes made. And, for example, the Genesis version shows that God created the sun on the fourth day and the stars. Well, that didn't ring true to me, just based on the book of Genesis itself, because it said in the beginning, the first verse, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and it was good. And so how do you get light if you just created the sun later? I suggest that the sun was created in the beginning. The first verse of Genesis says God created the heavens and earth. Well, it doesn't mention that God created the universe first, then he created the solar systems, which included suns, and then he created the planets in the different solar systems. And then I would add he created the humans and animals and plant life after that. So we know that the scientists say that the universe was created 13.7 billion years ago. The Earth was created 2.5 billion years ago. And so there's a lot of time between the creation of the universe and the creation of the Earth. And the universe, our solar system, or the Milky Way, as we call it, was created 4.67 billion years ago. So just prior to the creation of the Earth. And so what happened between 13.7 and 4.67 years? A lot of things happened. Evolution started. So it was really a problem that we see that in the Bible, and it was really different. And there's another point that in the Genesis, it says that there are two stories of creation. We have the story of creation started in chapter 1, verse 1, but the second version was chapter 2, verse 4. But and the second chapter shows a few minor details of how Earth was, how the Earth was created, but it wasn't a complete story. It was mostly a story about Adam and Eve and their descendants, and so I suspect that the second story was actually the first story written when the Old Testament was written. And the writers realized that wasn't really a story of creation. And so then they wrote chapter 1, verse 1, because it was a more complete outline of all the steps that God took to create. And so, but they didn't want to eliminate the chapter 2, verse 4, because it added to the story.
Yes.
And it made it more complete. It was a detail after the outline that was created, and further explained the next steps of creation after Genesis, the first chapter of Genesis finished. So that's what I discovered about creation in Exodus.
Fascinating. The book is God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights by Gary Lindbergh. And we do get insights in this book. There are a number of books that have been printed along the same category of this, but this book is really different. It's unique. What makes this book different than the others?
Well, my book, God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights, explores some of the controversies in the Old Testament books, Genesis and Exodus, in ways that are different than what most people expect. And the second factor is that I look at the definitions of words that were used 6,000 years ago when they wrote the Old Testament. And I understand from the logic that language changes over time, and I've experienced that even when I was in the Peace Corps. I saw that happen when I was speaking French and also English. But the point is that they change. Those words were not did not mean then what they mean now.
Yes.
So if we interpret it as the word we interpret now, we're making a mistake. And so some of the words I examined were day, year, land, earth. And it's important to understand the language that they intended and at that time, at 6,000 or whatever years ago it was. So another factor that makes my book different is I fit the pieces of the puzzle together in ways that are very unusual and maybe even startling. And finally, I want to mention that I examined Exodus for the beginning of the earth when God was creating all the different animals and human species, and found out that he created 13 different species of humans. And over the years, millions of years, he eliminated one species after another, until there's only today one species left. Now, we may be influenced or added to by the Cro-Magnon man, the Neanderthals, but the other species, Homo erectus and so forth, they no longer exist. So we have one species today, that's the Homo sapiens sapiens, that's the official name, and that's us. And so it's interesting that so much happened during that prehistoric period, even before Adam and Eve were even thought of.
You know, it's interesting. What is your hypothesis about evolution? What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that evolution is, I want to say that to begin with, that I am an avid believer in science as well as the Bible. So I don't see the contradiction that some Christians might see. But my take on the evolution is that I start with one principle, that is all life, that's human, animal, and plant, are directed as opposed to being non-directed. And if it were all non-directed, then they could deviate from creation or their birth during lifetime in any direction. They could be, a human could be born with two heads, three arms, maybe even three eyes, who knows? There are all kinds of ways that it could deviate. And then on top of that, they could add an extra eye on top of that, or they could add an extra nose, or they could add another leg. All these things could happen if it's non-directed, because there's no restriction. DNA doesn't exist in that case. And so it can be deviating in any way. But when you have life being directed, then you have consistency. You have humans born with one head, two eyes, two ears, one mouth, two arms, two legs, that kind of thing. And it's consistent. So that's the first part. Evolution is a way, I think, that God handled creation. And the creation, I think, is still ongoing. It hasn't stopped even to this moment. And so creation is a tool that God used in evolving beings, people, or plants, or animals, or whatever. And over the time, things have changed. So those things happen, and I think that there is no common descent source like Charles Darwin argued. That to me is a fabrication to fit for his convenience in his theory. But we know that Darwin thinking has been changed over the years, because they didn't know about genetics and genetical influences on generations and so forth. So, and even the people who believe in Darwinism don't believe everything that it says. So that has changed since 1854 or 1859, I guess it was. And so that's my theory of evolution.
Our guest on the program is Gary R. Lindberg, L-I-N-D-B-E-R-G. His website is named GaryRLindberg.com. This book is God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights. His first book, God's Existence, The Truth, Fact, or Fiction. The other book that he's written on his days in the Peace Corps, The Vegetable Grows and The Lion Roars, My Peace Corps Service. All the books, of course, available wherever books are sold, specifically at Gary's website information. Order them there as well. You touched on this, but I find this fascinating. What lesson did you learn about the views of some Christians about science?
Well, I didn't realize that some Christians are very adamant that the Bible is the truth and science is contradictory to the Bible, so therefore it can't be true. And that I didn't understand why some people think that way. And I finally realized that the reason why they feel that way is that it makes them look like they're supporting two opposite views and that are in contradiction to each other, and therefore they think that is being double-minded. Well, they can't be double-minded. They either got to believe one way or they got to believe the other. And I'm suggesting that science is the same as the Bible in many ways. In fact, when I was about 12 or 13 years old, I asked myself a couple of questions. The first question was, who created the Bible? Well, my answer was that God created the Bible because he inspired a number of people to write it and to organize it. Well, then I asked myself, who created science? Well, the answer to that to me was very obvious. God created science because he created the universe and all that's in it. Then it struck me. If God created the Bible and God created science, they both must say the same thing, or at least be very compatible.
Yes.
And so I figured that the science is really the strongest supporter of the Bible that Christians could ask for. So the Christians need to realize, those that are so adamant about it, that the Bible is a valid, holy book. It does consist of some errors, some embellishments, some contradictions, and some of that can be explained by rational thinking. Contradictions can be explained by people having different perspectives of the same event. If you have four witnesses standing on four corners and there's an accident, car accident, you'll get four different people telling you four Yes. different stories of what happened. And that happens in modern times, let alone in prehistoric times or early Christian times. So we have to, I'm suggesting that we have to look at things a little more deeply and with more understanding of what's going on.
And you do that so well in both books. The first book, God's Existence, The Truth, Fact or Fiction, the one we're talking about today. God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights. Gary R. Lindbergh, our guest on the program. Time going by so quickly, I'd like to talk about a couple of these other issues of great discussion over the course of time. Did the generations from Adam to Noah live about 900 years?
I don't think so. I think they lived normal lifetimes, 75, maybe some of them got up to 100, even more a little bit. But the point is, here we have to ask, what is the definition of year to them, to those people, to Noah? How did Noah define a year? Did he define it as the time, you know, they harvested wheat several times a year? Did he define a year as the period of time for a harvest? That's one way. You know, the people in those days, how they would classify time, they would classify it by the number of years of the reign of Tutankhamun or Nebuchadnezzar, in the fifth year of Nebuchadnezzar or something like that. And so I think we need to figure out what it was a time for them to happen. If you divide the time up into reasonable segments, I think you'll find that the period of time they lived was a reasonable natural lifespan that we live like in these days. So I don't think it's any different.
Goes back to definitions, as you mentioned before. It's a fascinating discussion, God's Existence, Deeper Thoughts from Greater Insights by Gary Lindbergh, our guest and the author of the book. What's your take about the Great Flood?
Well, the Great Flood actually did occur, I think. It did not cover the entire earth, as the Bible says. Again, we have to define what the word earth meant. Did the earth mean the entire globe? I don't think people in Noah's time knew anything about North America, South America, Australia, Probably not China, probably not India, probably not Russia. So they couldn't imagine that those facts, and couldn't say that the earth covered, the flood covered all those countries, because that's beyond their level of knowledge. And so what is their level of knowledge? Their level of knowledge was the Mesopotamia area, basically, where they lived. They weren't world travelers. They were local people who wrote about a local flood and how it covered the area. And God didn't go to Australia and pick out kangaroos or go to North America and pick out buffalo or what it is for Noah to put on his ark. And the business about the ark, I think it's an embellishment, a very serious embellishment that did not house all those animals. Noah picked out for the local flood that happened. But scientists have always said that there were many local floods, and this was another local flood. And he did not pick out all these animals from different continents because he didn't. How could he go to North America and pick out a buffalo? How could he go to Australia and pick out kangaroos?
Yes,
I don't think so. It would have taken you decades for him to get to them, let alone take the animals. So it was basically a local flood that happened, and he took local animals, and the definition of the ark or the measurement of the ark, I think, is an embellishment, much like a fisherman goes out to fish and he catches a fish and then he goes home and brags how big it is. And every time he tells a story, the fish gets bigger and bigger.
Yes.
And that's what happened with the some of the items in the Bible. And so instead of defending the false stories, we need to realize that with those kind of stories deter people from becoming Christians and from believing what the Bible has to say. And it doesn't make sense to shoot your head, put a bullet in your head to try to prove that you're a Christian. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. So that's my take about the descendants or the Great Flood.
So many things to talk about. I'm going to squeeze one more in real quickly at the end here. Was Moses a real person? I think you alluded to this in the beginning of the conversation.
I think Moses was a real person. But all of the archaeological evidence indicates that no proof of his existence. And I have a very strong criticism of archaeologists and scientists who say just because there's no evidence, that means that Noah didn't or Moses didn't exist. We have to understand that the only evidence of Moses' existence were obelisks and statues and things, physical things like that. And when the Pharaoh decreed that those things should be destroyed, they of course destroyed any evidence of that proved that Moses existed. And I kind of think that that was God's intention in the first place. He doesn't want to give people the emblem to worship. He says there's only one God, that's him, and you don't worship any other gods. And some people have a tendency to want to do that. And the point is that God allowed Moses to do what he did and wanted him to help the Israelites. I don't believe that the Exodus was 600,000 people that left Egypt. There is probably some valid criticism that that's too large a group, and I suspect that the group was smaller. How much smaller, I don't know, but 100,000 maybe, I don't know. But the fact is that Moses did exist, and he did lead the Exodus.
So many other questions. You'll find the answers in Gary's new book, God's Existence. Deeper Thoughts for Greater Insights, Gary R. Lindberg, his first book on existence, The Truth, Fact or Fiction, and the book on his Days with the Peace Corps, The Vegetable Grows and The Lion Roars. All these books available wherever books are sold. You'll find information on all of them. Can order them as well at Gary's website, GaryRLindberg.com, LindBerg. Link on directly to Gary's website on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Gary, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. So much information. You've really captured our attention here today and so meticulously laid out in the research. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with me. I really appreciate that opportunity.
Well, we learned something today, and we appreciate you being on the program. I'd like to thank EC Publishing, LLC, for arranging our conversation with Gary today. EC Publishing, bringing your vision to life with expert editing, design, and marketing tools tailored to your publishing success. That's EC Publishing, LLC. You're listening to This Week in America. Information there, link on to Gary's website, GaryRLindberg.com. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.